Okay, so Lithgow. Do you want to take this one?
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Oh shit. I wasn't thinking. I forgot we were recording them.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. More daddies, more problems. I'm Dave, joined by my daddy, Mr. Ryan.
Well, I guess it could have been that or a problem.
Yeah,
so.
Coming out of the gate, getting weird. This is Ryan. I'm Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline this week, more daddies, more problems. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, you will get a prize package sent to your home, too, daddy. This week, Pet Sematary comes to theaters. From what I've heard, it's best to not.
It's Pet Sematary?
It's Pet Sematary, but it's everything I've read says don't view it as a remake of the Pet Sematary movie. View it as an adaptation of the Pet Sematary book. So I don't want to call it a remake, but, you know, it stars Jason Clarke, who I like a lot.
Yeah.
And John Lithgow steps into the Herman Munster role, is the wise neighbor that gets his. I can't even say it without cringing. That's like being my biggest.
This is Achilles sliced. I got it.
Been my biggest fear my whole life is anything happening to my Achilles. So that scene.
And it's because of that movie, right? When I'm a kid, I don't think I knew what an Achilles was until I saw that little bastard slice Herman Munster's. And I was like, oh shit, that's a thing that can happen? I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but that comes into theaters this week, and we thought, I think we've done a Stephen King episode. I don't know that we could do. I could do a Jason Clarke episode. Let's do a John Lithgow episode.
Sure.
I like episodes where it's like we kind of
character actors.
Yeah, we kind of get somebody who you really wouldn't think. Like, it's not a Brad Pitt episode. I had a couple off the top of my head that weren't even the obvious ones that I think people associate him with. They're just what I associate him with because they were the kind of movies I watch, and they're right in my burgeoning moviehood time. So, like, that's my top ones are up there, and those were the first ones that come to mind. But I think you had a more of a difficult time.
Sort of. My top two, and they are more of a recent vintage. Actually, all of my movies are post-2001, with the exception of one. One comes in your burgeoning movie period, but I don't think it's a movie you have on your list.
Does it have a great soundtrack?
It has a good soundtrack. But Lithgow's a guy that, when I think of him, the first thing that comes to my mind, oh, God, I love The Trinity Killer. Well, that's a TV show. That doesn't work. Third Rock from the Sun was a lot of fun. Also a TV show. Doesn't work. And I don't want to slight the man's movie career. He was nominated for 2 Oscars. Respect. But I think he's a guy that he appears in a lot of movies, and some that I like an awful lot. It's tough to call him John Lithgow movies, although I am going to do that in some cases. But there are a couple movies that give you a lot of Lithgow, and I like him a lot. I like the guy. I don't know that I love his movie career as much as I like him as an actor. And I don't think it's a reflection of his talent, because I think he is super talented.
I mean, this is one of those where I have my top five. My top two, I think, are Lithgow movies. Like, they are Lithgow movies. My 3 and 4, maybe not so much. But then I have 3, 7 also-rans of movies that I really like. And they're all older. Like, I'm the opposite of yours. Like, 2 of mine are post-2001. But everything else is before that. Even my also-ran. The only 2... Well, I do have 1 also-ran from post-2001. But it was one of those where it's like, oh, yeah, he's in a lot of stuff. I had to remember him in it. Like,
yes.
That was kind of my, like, oh, okay, maybe I like this movie more, but I don't really remember him in it. So what is your number 5 favorite John Lithgow movie?
It is the most recent. It is from 2016, directed by Gavin O'Connor. It is The Accountant, starring The Accountant, Ben Affleck, another accountant, Anna Kendrick, J.K. Simmons, and John Bernthal. Before he directed The Accountant, O'Connor's previous movies, Jane Got a Gun and Warrior, I liked an awful lot. Add in Miracle, and Gavin O'Connor had established a little bit of a rep with me for being a really capable director across genres. That, along with this being an Anna Kendrick movie, landed it on my list of things to watch in 2016. I didn't really end up liking it as much as I hoped. The plot has got a lot of moving parts. I think a few too many for the movie to easily keep track of. It's almost sensory overload via plot, which makes some sense given the nature of Affleck's character. The action is really great. The fight scenes are good. The gunfights are sweet. And the supporting cast is wonderful, Simmons and Lithgow especially. But we're left with distractions from what is sort of a forgettable, an odd premise, accountant, action hero. It almost seemed like, and I don't know the author of the book, I'm not sure if he was an accountant by trade and decided to write a book about an accountant hero because he was one. It just kind of seems that way. Supposedly we're getting a sequel to The Accountant. If you just didn't get enough accounting the first time, he's back to file an extension or whatever. I don't know. I think the movie tried to be almost like a Jason Bourne type deal, which is tough. Bourne tried to pull that off several times and failed, and The Accountant was enjoyable. Lithgow's fun. Lithgow the bad guy is fun.
Yeah, this was my number three, but I'll cut it off my list completely so I can completely replace it with one of my seven also-rans. It was fine.
Yeah.
It's the kind of movie to where, for me, like, I love these kind of movies. So it's really hard to make a bad one in my eyes because these are just what I watch. I had very high expectations. I like Affleck. I like Anna Kendrick. I like Gavin O'Connor. I like Lithgow. I like Bernthal. So it had a lot working for it. It was okay.
Yeah.
It's not what I wanted.
You'd think it'd be better.
Yeah.
The sum of the parts should be,
like,
better.
The sum of the parts in the genre that I adore should have been a lot better. It was okay. My number five, going back, a late addition to my list.
Just now.
From 1982, directed by George Roy Hill, based on the John Irving novel, The World According to Garp. It's not a Lithgow movie. It's 100% a Robin Williams movie, but Lithgow is fourth billed behind Robin Williams, Mary Beth Hurt, and Glenn Close, and he's ahead of Hugh Cronin, Jessica Tandy, Swoozie Kurtz, so he's a big enough part of this movie to register it. I just really like this movie. I like this Robin Williams. Like, this is before Robin Williams was the funniest man on earth. I like this movie a lot. It's hard. It's not your typical Robin Williams performance. You watch this and you think, like, oh, that guy's going to win an Oscar in 20-some years or 15 years or so.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, that makes sense. Not so much with Bicentennial Man or Man of the Year or whatever. But I just really like this movie. Lithgow's there. Like, this is one of those that's more like he's the sum of the parts. Like, it's not a Lithgow movie. He doesn't really stand out. He's good. He's in an ensemble cast where everybody's really good. So it's hard to really stand out. But I like this movie.
Garp was one I left off because I was pretty sure it was going to be on your list. Now, I guess I would have been wrong had I not stolen one from you. But it's certainly, I mean, this is a Robin Williams movie, and that he's the guy that comes to mind. But I think Lithgow is an important part of the movie, and I think he does well in it. He is a smaller character. In my number four is Jake Kasdan's Orange County from 2002, starring Colin Hanks, Jack Black, and Schuyler Fisk. Orange County has come up a couple times on the podcast. I think it's mostly my fault when it does. Road trip comedies, and maybe even more recently, Jack Black movies. As a director, Kasdan's kind of up and down, but when he teams with Black, as he did in 2017's Jumanji, it is entertaining. One of the things that, at least I keep going back to in Orange County, is that there's actual honest-to-goodness character growth in this movie, not just for the lead, but in the secondary characters. Lithgow plays the father to Colin Hanks' Sean, and after initially not supporting Sean's choice to become a writer, he manages to come around and support that decision and even kind of get back with his a little bit off-kilter ex-wife, played by Catherine O'Hara. What easily could have been your classic late 90s, early aughts teen road trip comedies, Mike White gave us a pretty thoughtful script, not the last of which would feature Jack Black. He also wrote School of Rock and Nacho Libre, both of which I like. But I think it's so easy when you have Jack Black to just write like a stupid comedy where he's just doing dumb Jack Black stuff. But they didn't do that. I mean, he burns a building down, which is in Jack Black style. But they really do keep him from being Chris Tuckered. He's a good character, and almost all the characters, Black included, has character growth. And you don't typically see that in a, you know, a sex comedy. Not that this is necessarily a sex comedy, but I think it was produced by MTV Films, and that's what they were turning out at the time. And I could forgive you if you looked at this, saw Jack Black, MTV, and you were like, I know how this is going to end. But it doesn't. It actually has a good script, and it has good characters in it. And it's a movie that I like, maybe more so than other people, but I think it's really solid.
Switching out my number four as well to go with something.
Was it Orange County?
No, it wasn't. But just to go older, like to go something. I like older Lithgow. And from 1981, written and directed by Brian De Palma, Lithgow starred with Nancy Allen of RoboCop fame, John Travolta of Battlefield Earth fame, and Dennis Franz of butt on network TV fame. It's Blowout. I like these kind of movies. John Travolta is a sound recordist for movies, which is like, all right, I'm on board. Like, give me that. So he's recording sounds for a movie, and he records what people thought was a car accident. Turns out to be a murder. Now there's a big conspiracy. He's in trouble. Everybody wants to kill everybody. Somebody gets offed with an ice pick. John Lithgow's there. Dennis Franz is there. Nancy Allen rocks. I just really like this movie. It's a great thriller. This is a Brian De Palma movie. Like, when Brian De Palma is on, he's on. It's his style. It's dark. It's twisty. It's turny. I really, really like Blowout. Again, it's a John Travolta movie and not so much a John Lithgow movie, but he's third billed right behind John Travolta and Nancy Allen.
Now I feel like my number three needs to be the other half of the RoboCop tandem and just do Buckaroo Banzai at Peter Weller, who was RoboCop. But no, it's not. That's not on my list. My number three is my oldest of the movies, and it does come from the early 80s. It is James L. Brooks's Terms of Endearment, starring Shirley MacLaine, Deborah Winger, Jack Nicholson, Danny DeVito, Jeff Daniels, and John Lithgow. I think this movie, and you've kind of hinted at it too, is sort of a microcosm of Lithgow's career. When I say Terms of Endearment, if you've seen the movie, naturally you think of Deborah Winger and Shirley MacLaine, as you should. They were amazing. They were both nominated for Best Lead Actress in 1984. MacLaine won because one of them had to. You may even think of Jack Nicholson, who won Best Supporting Actor for playing the hard-drinking, hard-loving former astronaut, neighbor-turned-step-granddad. You may not remember John Lithgow, who plays the dude that Deborah Winger steps out with. You may also not remember that John Lithgow also was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in this movie, opposite Jack Nicholson. In a movie full of absolute movie star performances, Lithgow gave one that probably in any other movie would have been more memorable, but that doesn't take away from his talent. I wrote this list a couple days ago, and because we're in March, I was thinking about basketball. I kind of felt like John Lithgow in this movie is a bit like RJ Barrett on Duke. He happens to play with Zion, who everyone in the country is on a first-name basis with, but on any other team, this guy would be the star. Lithgow was like that in Terms of Endearment. He could start for any other team in the nation, but he's just out there with an absolute all-star team, crushing it, every one of them.
I looked up because I didn't realize he was a two-time Oscar nominee. Yeah. So you mentioned this, and I was thinking, oh, what else was he nominated for? The year before, not only is two-time Oscar nominee, back-to-back years for my number five, World According to Garp, was a Robin Williams movie,
yes,
but he gets an Oscar nomination for it. He did not get an Oscar nomination for my number three, and it is not a John Lithgow movie, but it's closer to a Lithgow movie than Blowout or World According to Garp. It is from 1984. It's a Kevin Bacon movie with a killer soundtrack. It is Footloose. Kevin Bacon, Laurie Singer, Diane Wiest, Chris Penn, Sarah Jessica Parker, and John Lithgow.
The bad guy.
As the evil reverend. How perfect is Lithgow in this movie? Like, the setup of this movie is the stupidest setup to a movie ever. The town outlaws dancing, but then in comes Kevin Bacon, this great dancer full of rage. But you know what? It works. It's a fun movie. It's ridiculous. The soundtrack, I loved it. And when I think of Lithgow, like, this is one of the ones that comes to mind because it's like, he's a bad guy. And when you mentioned two Oscar noms, I'm thinking, like, was it this?
Footloose?
Like, it might have. It wouldn't have shocked me because that's how good he is in this movie. It's a 100% a Kevin Bacon movie, but Lithgow makes his mark in this movie.
My number two, I'm not sure Like, it immediately comes to your mind as a Lithgow movie, but he has a great part in it. It's a movie that I like an awful lot. On this show, I have gone to the mat for it. It is Rupert Wyatt's Rise of the Planet of the Apes from 2011, starring James Franco, Freda Pinto, John Lithgow, and motherfucking Andy Serkis. I love this movie, and Serkis is amazing. There is no earthly reason that he shouldn't have picked up more recognition for this performance. That guy alone, what he's done for motion capture performances, has completely flipped what your perception of a movie character can be. And he's turned in some great performances, but I don't think he's ever done one better. And maybe some of that's technology, but he's never done a better one than Caesar in this movie. And Lithgow's wonderful as well. His character suffers from Alzheimer's. And Lithgow's face, especially his eyes in this movie, are so incredibly expressive. And when his condition seems to improve, he has this really great relationship with Caesar as well. It is great work from two wonderful, wonderful actors. And Wyatt does a tremendous job in launching a trilogy. There's so many times that movies get released and basically the sequels are greenlit before the first one even comes out, or they're written and developed with a trilogy in mind, and they just can't support it. But in this movie, you fully buy into Caesar and the Apes. You see why he thinks and acts the way he does throughout the rest of the movies. His willingness to always stick his neck out, to not just want to exterminate the humans. And much of that is based on the interaction that he has with Franco and with Lithgow in Rise. It's really the root that guides his character through the Caesar's character through the rest of the trilogy.
This was one I left off. It was tough, but I figured you might have it on there, or at
it's
least
a good guess.
We've talked. I mean, we did an episode on this movie and its brother. It's good. I really like it. But now we're into the heart of it. Now we're into the Lithgow stuff. My number two, it's the closest to a Lithgow. You thought he was good as the villain, as the evil reverend in Footloose.
He's got a better evil villain role.
Kevin Bacon. Well, boy, let me tell you about 1991's Ricochet, starring Denzel Washington and Lithgow and Ice-T. Earl Talbot Blake is Lithgow in this movie, and he's put away by a young cop, Denzel Washington. Washington ends up going on to become district attorney. Earl Talbot Blake gets out and wants to make his life hell. And it's such a good villain role for Lithgow. I remember when his season of Dexter came out and people were like, oh, this is Lithgow. You don't expect it coming from Lithgow. No, I do, because this and my number one are very, very much like that. And Ricochet is good because we talk about, you know, you have your revenge thrillers that are like your Death Wish, where it's just let's kill everybody, or you have something like Dead Man's Shoes, or even the first Punisher with Thomas Jane, where it's like it's not just to hunt them down and kill. You want to tear people down to their core. And that's the villain that Earl Talbot Blake is. He doesn't just want to kill Denzel Washington. He wants to destroy his world. He wants to take away everything that he loves and destroy it. I love Denzel in this kind of movie. I love a great villain in this kind of movie, which sometimes they're overlooked. And when you get somebody like Lithgow to play this kind of villain, I'm on board. I love this movie. This is one of those that I talk about being from my childhood, because this is 91 when I'm like a 12-year-old boy, like really getting into crime movies. And then Ricochet comes out with Denzel being awesome and John Lithgow kind of stealing the show. It's hard to steal the show from Denzel Washington, but I think Lithgow does in this movie.
My number one is also
Lithgow?
Villain.
I hope he's in it.
Yeah, he is. He's a villain in 2001 Shrek, directed by Andrew Adamson and Vicky Jensen, starring Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, and Lord Farquaad, which I think might be a slightly better name than in Ricochet, but six of one, half dozen of the other. Shrek came up during our Oscar episode as one of the handful of times a studio other than Disney Pixar has been able to win Best Animated Film, and this absolutely should have won. It is a really great story, full of jokes that are capable of entertaining not just the children in the audience, but the parents that have spent their money to get the children in the audience. it's damn near impossible to be able to entertain both of those groups at the same time. But when you're able to do it, I think that speaks to just how well it's written. And Lithgow is at his absolute Lithgowiest. He is the perfect choice for this evil ruler. He's a great bad guy. We've mentioned Footloose, Ricochet, this. His role in Cliffhanger just fell off at the very last minute. That's a guilty pleasure movie of mine. And he's fun in that. It's just this just bastard. But he's got personality. And if left unchecked, he can go into like this cartoonish type character. And in Shrek, that works wonderfully. Things are over the top. Eddie Murphy's huge. Mike Myers is huge. And Lithgow is able to add that menace that works alongside Shrek, Fiona, and Donkey.
My number one is more villain Lithgow. It is the most Lithgowiest movie. This is not, oh, he steals the show from Denzel, or oh, he goes against. He is the star of the show, 100%. And my second Brian De Palma movie on the list from 1992, Demented, Deranged, Deceptive, De Palma, it is Raising Kane. This is the first one that came to mind. You think Split was great. You think McAvoy was great in Split. He was. Lithgow did it first in Raising Kane. He plays Carter, Kane, Dr. Nix, Josh, and Margot. Lolita Vidovich carries the movie and just lets Lithgow go nuts as he plays this psychologist with multiple personalities who likes stealing kids and doing experiments on them. This is Lithgow to me. This and Ricochet are the first two Lithgow that comes to mind. So just to go back to Dexter, when people were like, oh, it's this guy from Third Rock doing all this stuff. It's like, no, that's the dude from Ricochet and Raising Kane. Yes, he's going to cut somebody's head off and put in a bathtub. That's what I expect of Lithgow. When he shows up, I'm waiting for him to kill somebody. But yeah, Raising Kane, I absolutely love. I love this movie. I love Lithgow in it. I like when these guys that are character actors get the chance to just be the guy and absolutely deliver. He absolutely did in this movie. I mean, it's not the kind of movie that would get you an Oscar nom, but it's such a good movie. It's so good.
Neither was Split, but I was still pounding the drum for McAvoy.
Yeah, but I want to see...
What's better acting than that,
I
want to
see Carter, Kane, Dr. Nix, Josh, and Margo versus... Whatever they
the
call
Beast.
The and, Beast, and yeah. That's my spinoff movie I want to see. Screw Glass and Unbreakable. I want to do Raising Kane Split match.
Do a multiverse right there.
Kind of also rans did you get?
To be honest, the reason that I had as much trouble with my list is thinking I knew it was going to be on your list. I knew Ricochet was going to be on there. Had a good bet Raising Kane was. Garp, I would have... I thought, oh, there's no way Dave's going to have five and that's not going to be on there. So having left those three out, the only ones that really didn't make my list other than those three, I think would have been Cliffhanger and, fuck it. Like, I'm a weird genre kid. So, yeah, like Buckaroo Banzai, I will watch the shit out of that. That is it's Peter Weller, but like, yeah, that's a John Lithgow movie.
Yeah, I had The Accountant, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Another recent one I had was Miss Sloan. He shows up in that
Jessica Chastain
movie. But then I realized, like, oh, Miss Sloan was okay. Molly's Game was great. Like, if it was Molly's Game would be up there.
Not in that, though.
Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
They just released the trailer. It was Shatner in the original episode, Lithgow in the movie, and then
Adam Scott
in the one coming up that... It's out by now, by the time this drops, so that's pretty awesome. If you want to pay for CBS, whatever. Manhattan Project, I thought was cool.
Yeah.
Pelican Brief, and one that I left off because I think it's an obvious Lithgow one, that I thought maybe you would have Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah,
I mean that movie's fun.
Like I didn't mention it when I was talking.
It's a time capsule movie, but.
When I was talking TV stuff, I mean, weirdly enough, he was in the movie version of that, but not the TV show. That kind of gets lumped into those TV things for me. He's weird. He's been in big roles in really good movies, small roles in really good movies, and just some stuff that I think, especially that run in the 80s, I'll even say, like, starting with Garp, Terms of Endearment, a lot of the things that are on our list, I want to say are, like, sort of a forgotten time. They're not old enough to necessarily be classic yet, but they're old to where people aren't watching them nowadays.
And they're not movies that you hear about and you associate him with them.
No.
Like you hear Garp and it's like, oh, it's Robin Williams.
If you even
terms
do
of endearment.
Hear about that.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not sure people are out talking about Ricochet.
I am.
Yeah,
spend a weekend
I know.
With me.
In that respect, it was fun to do this list because his career was really, I mean, the guy was a hell of a movie star in the 80s, but people now think of him.
And he's still doing stuff.
Yeah, he is.
He was just nominated for a Golden Globe or something for The Crown a couple years ago. So, I mean, he's still an accomplished
TV stuff, yeah.
Yeah, an accomplished actor.
Yeah.
Who we're talking stuff from early 80s. We're almost in the 2020s.
And it's
so,
still
I mean,
working.
40 years, like 35 years of people know who Lithgow is.
That's the thing. He's not necessarily a quote-unquote movie star, but when you say
you
John
see him,
Lithgow,
you know him. Yeah.
People know who he is. Yeah. Which
and you know what? People like him.
Yeah.
Like, he's the kind of guy where he shows up and people don't just like, oh, I know that guy. It's like, oh, that guy.
And a lot of the times he's playing a terrible dude.
Yeah.
But people still seem to like him. It's
yeah.
weird like that.
Next week, some movie, The Curse of...
La Llorona.
Yeah, The Curse of Mexican Language or something. Isn't Linda Ford... Linda Cardellini stars in that, I think. Maybe, I don't know. They're all the same to me. But we figured... Hey, let's do our favorite.
It is Linda Cardellini.
Okay, let's do our favorite cursed movies. Then I realized, like, oh,
Tuco.
The Curse of Emily Rose and stuff like that. I don't watch those movies. Ryan does. So Ryan's going to do those. I'm going to do favorite cursed movies as far as movies that were likely cursed. So lots of cursing next week. Just a heads up.
More so than usual.
Going to earn that explicit tag because lots of cursing. But until next week.
Keep it up.